The process that moves air around in the atmosphere is the same process that drives the internal engine of the planet, namely convection. Moist, warm air from the equatorial regions rises until it hits the barrier of the tropopause and spreads out. As it travels away from the equator and cools, it sinks. When it hits bottom, some of the sinking air looks for an area of low pressure to fill and heads back for the equator, completing the circuit. At the equator, the convection process is generally stable and the weather predictably fair, but in temperate zones the patterns are far more seasonal, localized, and random, which results in an endless battle between systems of high-pressure air and low. Low-pressure systems are created by rising air, which conveys water molecules into the sky, forming clouds and eventually rain. Warm air can hold more moisture than cool air, which is why tropical and summer storms tend to be the heaviest. Thus, low areas tend to be associated with clouds and rain, and highs generally spell sunshine and fair weather. When two such systems meet, it often becomes manifest in the clouds. For instance, stratus clouds, those unlovable, featureless sprawls that give us our overcast skies, happen when moisture-bearing updrafts lack the oomph to break through a level of more stable air above, and instead spread out, like smoke hitting a ceiling. Indeed, if you watch a smoker sometime, you can get a very good idea of how things work by watching how smoke rises from a cigarette in a still room. At first, it goes straight up. This is called a laminar flow, if you need to impress anyone, and then it spreads out in a diffused, wavy layer. The greatest supercomputer in the world, taking measurements in the most carefully controlled environment, cannot tell you what forms these ripplings will take, so you can imagine the difficulties that confront meteorologists when they try to predict such motions in a spinning, windy, large-scale world. What we do know is that because heat from the sun is unevenly distributed, differences in air pressure arise on the planet. Air can't abide this, so it rushes around trying to equalize things everywhere. Wind is simply the air's way of trying to keep things in balance. Air always flows from areas of high pressure to areas of low pressure, as you would expect. Think of anything with air under pressure, a balloon or an air tank, and think how insistently that pressured air wants to get someplace else. And the greater the discrepancy in pressures, the faster the wind blows. Incidentally, wind speeds, like most things that accumulate, grow exponentially. So a wind blowing at 200 miles an hour is not simply 10 times stronger than a wind blowing at 20 miles an hour, but 100 times stronger, and hence that much more destructive. Introduce several million tons of air to this accelerator effect, and the result can be exceedingly energetic. A tropical hurricane can release in 24 hours as much energy as a rich, medium-sized nation like Britain or France uses in a year. The impulse of the atmosphere to seek equilibrium was first suspected by Edmund Halley, the man who was everywhere, and elaborated upon in the 18th century by his fellow Briton George Hadley, who saw that rising and falling columns of air tended to produce cells, known ever since as Hadley cells. Though a lawyer by profession, Hadley had a keen interest in the weather. He was, after all, English, and also suggested a link between his cells, the Earth's spin, and the apparent deflections of air that give us our trade winds. However, it was an engineering professor at the École Polytechnique in Paris, Gustave Gaspard de Coriolis, who worked out the details of these interactions in 1835, and thus we call it the Coriolis effect. Coriolis's other distinction at the school was to introduce water coolers, which are still known there as Corios, apparently. The Earth revolves at a brisk 1,041 miles an hour at the equator, though as you move toward the poles, the rate slopes off considerably, to about 600 miles an hour in London or Paris, for instance.
This book is continued on Disc 9.